wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. What is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? In almost all the New Testament epistles, they end with, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." What a heavenly benediction. And it is pronounced on all the Lord's people, those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Is it that our God knows our many sins and failures and how we need his mercy and grace? While this is true that we do need his mercy, yet this is not the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is it that as grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, so we shall have that balance of faithful, stinging truth mingled with tender, compassionate grace, as did our Lord? This also is true, but this is not the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is it that as in the epistle, so often the apostle exposed and rebuked sinful practices, that at the end he wished that in grace God would bypass judging them for such ungodly ways and just lavish his mercy on them just the same? No, this is never true. Our God never bypasses judgment for sin. When the Bible says, "Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound," this is a great change in the life of one who is born again. What then is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? The Holy Spirit has not left us to our faulty guesses, but he makes it very plain to us in these words, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became destitute, that ye through his destitution might be made rich." 2 Corinthians 8:9. That grace was exhibited at Calvary, where he laid down his life, gave himself, sacrificed his all, became destitute for us. What is this grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? First, it is an unselfish sacrifice in which all I have is gathered up and laid on an altar, and more than that. When that is done, then I lay myself on that altar, a sacrifice, a living sacrifice. This is not donating my dead body to some medical research. It is not willing my possessions to some charitable or religious cause. But right now, in my life, I gather all my goods together and I take them to my Mount Moriah. Read about Mount Moriah in Genesis 22. And there, laying them out before my God on one side of the altar, I then lay myself on the other side of the altar and say, "Hear, my God, I give myself and all I have to thee as a whole burnt offering sacrifice." Then, as with Abraham, God shows he does not want my death, but my life. And he says, "Arise and take these, which are now mine, and use them for my glory. Use them for others, so that while you have nothing, others will be blessed." Yes, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is an unselfish sacrifice. All self-desires, all self-ambitions, all self-gratifications are forever resigned. It is, as the Scripture says, it is to no longer live unto myself. Second, it is a life laid down for others, seeking their eternal blessing and counting no price too dear, no journey too long to take, no trial too great to endure, and no abuse too stinging to take, as I remember the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ exhibited at Calvary, that I might bring them into God's eternal kingdom. And so I arise and descend my Mount Moriah, taking his goods, no longer mine, with me. Soon the Holy Spirit appears to take over. First, he shows me those slaves of sin and witchcraft in Nigeria. Then the idol worshippers of India in their staggering millions. Then out to the estates of Malaysia, he shows me the poor outcasts. As benighted and distressed multitudes fill my vision, I look at what were once my goods, and they look like the lad's lunch to feed 5,000. Beholding their loathsome degradation, I'm disgusted with them. Then I feel within me a great change. What has happened to me? The love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. Compassion now moves me. I observe that they all, whether tottering with age or leaping in youth, are going on the same road. Then the Holy Spirit spreads a cloud over the throng, and on the crowd he writes, "Lost and hell-bound, who will rescue them?" Then those letters fade out, and these appear. For these Christ died, and somehow he makes the anguish of Calvary, of that lonely sufferer, so real to me. From that day, I no longer just see another man, black, white, red, or yellow, but those words seem written on every human forehead, for whom Christ died. Moved by that vision, I await the Holy Spirit's next move. He says, I want to take you and all those goods, and as I multiply them and enable you, I want you to rescue those eternal souls and lead them into the kingdom of Christ. I'll respond, "Lord, here am I, at thy service. I wait thy command." Then he says, "You must remember every day, every hour, that you're not your own. You have laid yourself on that altar. So henceforth, you have no liberty to go where you want to go. You must go where I send you. You are not to do what you want to do. You must do what I command you to do. You are not to say what you think, but you must say what I order you to say. And as you have laid those goods on that altar, remember, they're no more yours, so you dare not take aught of them, but as I allow for your sustenance. And as I direct you, they're to be spent for the furtherance of the gospel of Christ and reaching those for whom Christ died." How different from those who say, "This is my money, I can do with it what I want to." My brethren and sisters, this is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What do you know of it in your own personal experience? What do you want to know? Truly, this is Bible Christianity. This is Christ liveth in me. This is the Spirit-led life. No wonder the New Testament is so full of it. No wonder it is the final benediction in the Word of God and the greatest desire of the apostle for those led to Christ in his ministry. I beseech you, take that Mount Moriah journey and so lay yourself in all you have. Not a mite would I withhold. On that altar, a living sacrifice. And then the Holy Spirit will take you and your goods and so use you, the angels will behold and wonder. Neighbor, if you have never come to know Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you may count my life crazy while you try to get everything for yourself. Did you know that a selfish life is an utterly miserable existence to everyone who lives that way? And that selfish life is self-destructive. And while you want the best for yourself, you become so nearsighted, you really do not see what is the very best in life. You have only one life here on earth, and then you must go into that great forever. It is eternity, whether it be in heaven or in hellfire. Now, if you really want the best in life here, and the very best in eternity, it's only found in your coming to know Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And to know him is to love him. When you come to know my beloved Lord Jesus, you will not wonder that I'm willing to give myself and all I am and have to be laid at his feet to serve him. He gave himself for me on Calvary's cruel cross, even bearing my wicked sins and suffering what I deserve from them. What then is too much for me to do for him? And he's living there in heaven for me, supplying grace for every step of my way and mercy to pick me up when I stumble. And one day he'll bring me to his home in heaven, where I shall be changed into his likeness and forever to behold his glory and look on his lovely face. Now, neighbor, when you find anything better in life here and the life hereafter than in loving and serving the Lord Jesus Christ, please have compassion on this old man and tell me about it. But well, I know, and I think you know too, that if I gave you 1,000,000 years to hunt, searching the world over and going through all human history from Adam to this day, you would come up to say, "I have found nothing better." What better then could I wish for you, neighbor, than that you might know and love and serve the Lord Jesus Christ? And my joy is, by these messages, to introduce you to him. May you now know him in that very personal way, so you can confess, Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. He loved me and gave himself for me, and now I love him and give myself to him to obey and serve him. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.